Hello, Saints. Todd here with SafeguardYourSoul.com. Thank you so much for tuning in. We are so blessed to have these moments together in the Word of God. And remember, Saints, there's nothing happening on God's planet that is even remotely as important as the work of the gospel and feeding the sheep of Jesus Christ, for whom He died to save, so that they can grow in grace, they can be edified, they can be equipped for the work of the ministry according to the scriptures. And let me just guarantee you this one thing: by the grace of God, this outreach will continue to unapologetically endeavor to preach the whole of the Word of God, regardless of who gets offended or not, in Jesus' name. And please remember that your prayers and support are vital to this operation. Thank you. As a born-again believer, something inside of you hungers for more of the Lord. And Jesus said, "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." The Holy Spirit, who is now residing in you upon and after being regenerated or born again, is quickening you, is quickening me to walk with Christ. And what I want to talk about here is something that is so very foundational to our walk with Christ and is right here and all over the New Testament scriptures, and it is the mind of Christ. I want to talk about the mind of Christ, that is the disposition, the attitude of Christ. What is that disposition? What is that attitude of Christ that we are to behold and to walk in? As we get started here, let's take in or bring in a couple of comments of men of God who have commented, if you will, on Philippians 2 verse 5, which says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." Now, we're going to read this passage today together, but that's where the mind of Christ, this and one other place, I believe, 1 Corinthians 2:16, you have the mind of Christ, appear in the New Testament, the mind of Christ. I want to encourage you to let that burn into your mind and your heart, beloved, the mind of Christ. What is the mind of Christ that the scripture tells us here? We are to let this mind be in us, which was also in Christ Jesus. Adam Clark wrote this. He said, concerning letting this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, he writes this: "Christ labored to promote no separate interest. As man, he studied to promote the glory of God and the welfare and salvation of the human race. See then that ye have the same disposition that was in Jesus. He was ever humble, loving, patient, and laborious." In other words, full of labor, labor intensive. "His meat and drink was to do the will of his Father and to finish his work." Amen. That is Adam Clark's take on the mind of Christ. Notice F.B. Meyer wrote this concerning the example of self-surrender that we behold in Jesus Christ, who came down from heaven, and we have his life, his teachings, and his example on record in the Holy Scriptures. Hallelujah. So F.B. Meyer says, "In all scripture, indeed, it is in all literature, there is no passage which combines such extraordinary extremes as this. The apostle opens the golden compasses of his faith, placing one jeweled joint on the throne of divine glory and the other at the edge of the pit where the cross stood. And then he asked us to measure the vast descent of the Son of God as he came down to help us. Mark the seven steps. He was in the form of God," we're going to read in this passage, "that is, as much God as he was afterward a servant, being in the form of God, took the form of a servant. He was certainly the latter and equally so the former. He did not grasp at equality with God, for it was already his. He emptied himself, that is, refused to avail himself of the use of his divine attributes, that he might teach the meaning of absolute dependence on the Father. He obeyed
as a servant the laws which had their source in himself. He became man, a humble man, a dying man, a crucified man. He lay in the grave. But the meaning of his descent was that of his ascent. And to all his illustrious names is now added that of Savior, Jesus Savior. This must be our model. This mind must be in us. In proportion as we become humbled and crucified, we, in a small measure, shall attain the power of blessing and saving men. F.B. Meyer. It is my opinion as a disciple of Jesus that this, along with what Jesus said that the whole law and the prophets hang on, are absolutely at the foundation of our walk with Christ. Jesus said in Matthew 22:37-39, that the whole law and the prophets hung on these two commandments. Number one, you shall love the Lord with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the second, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Father, we ask you to teach us the mind of Christ as only you can do as we pore over your scriptures, over your word prayerfully in these moments we have with you and together in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's start in verse 1, Philippians 2:1. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, Paul writes, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels of mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one mind, of one accord. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind. Let each esteem other better than themselves, not on the same level, but even better than themselves, which causes your dissension in the cross, your death and burial, puts everyone else above you, your life on earth. Now that you are no longer your own, you're bought with the price of the blood of a lamb, Jesus Christ, 1 Corinthians 6:19-20. Your life is here to serve God and others, not self. Amen. And I'm going to tell you right now that this is such a platinum gold passage that is an absolute life changer, beloved. Philippians 2:3-5. I want to encourage you to become intimately familiar with these divinely inspired words, which is going to change your life. I tell you what, today is the first day of the rest of your life. And you know the definition of insanity, right? To continue to do the same things and expect a different result. Those who continue to get up in the morning having no conviction to seek God and put Him first and frame their day as rooted in Christ will never experience the joy of Jesus and the blessing of God on their life. Because you see, they really haven't repented. You see, there's a lot of people that have said a prayer. They didn't repent. Now, praying to repent is biblical as it could possibly be. But if you're not going to incline your heart to surrender your life, repent and lay down your life in this world, then you haven't really repented. And Jesus said, except ye repent, you shall all likewise perish. So that if this isn't interesting to you, it's because you haven't repented. To those who have repented and truly have a relationship with Christ, this is of great interest to you. The very words, the mind of Christ, that is, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Ye have the mind of Christ, Philippians 2:5, 1 Corinthians 2:16. The mind of Christ is of great import. It's of great importance to those who are known of Him to be His children. And so we should study to show ourselves approved unto God. Those who take God casually, in other words, they don't count Jesus enough, important enough, to search out His word, to seek Him diligently, fervently every day upon awakening, really don't love the Lord with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. Jesus is not their first love. That is the first priority of their life. And those who are right with God, their first priority is not self. It is Christ. They're willing to lay down their lives and obey God in the death and burial of self that Christ might raise them up and be manifested in their lives. And I'm telling you right now that your life is never going to work correctly. You're never going to feel a deep inner peace and like you're in fulfillment of your Creator's purpose for your life until you truly lay down your life and walk in this mind, that is, the disposition that was in Jesus Christ, who descended, he took the furthest trip ever from the glory of his Father as the divine Word of God who created all that is. He came to the earth, to all the way to the sin-cursed earth for you and me to die ultimately after living a sinless life on that cross, to be crucified for our sins so that the great exchange of his righteousness for our unrighteousness could be made in the mind of God. Amen. That is the furthest trip that has ever taken place. You see, when Jesus bled on the cross, when he died that death, shedding his perfect blood, he satisfied the claims of the Father's justice to save, to forgive, and to justify sinners like you and like me, who are less than the least of all saints, Ephesians 3:8. Now, when Jesus descended to the earth, it was with the ultimate divine goal of ascending. He descended and then he ascended, as we're going to read here in Philippians 2. Jesus died on the cross, was buried, and raised again from the dead to complete his redemptive work. And that's how this is to work in our lives, the cross. We are to die, to put off ourselves, to put off the old man, to be truly, as Paul put it, crucified with Christ, to where we don't have an agenda, but we are possessed with the agenda of God, that is to love him and to prefer him above ourselves and to prefer others above ourselves, as did Jesus when he came in the flesh. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, even the glory of the only begotten Son of God, John chapter 1. And we have his life, as we said earlier, on record in the Holy Scriptures. And as you read about Jesus, you are going to read about and see and witness the mind of Christ. John 5, verse 30, for example, Jesus says, I can of my own self do nothing. See, he had the mind. His mind was to please his Father in all things. The book of John is full of scriptures that unveil to us the mind or the disposition of Christ. And this is something that has to be exercised by your personal will. Remember, Jesus had a personal will. He chose to obey his Father above all things, not himself, but his Father. Remember, he said, not my will. That means he had a will as a man. He was all man and all God. Not my will, but thine be done. See, he gave preference to his Father who had sent him. And we are to give preference to the Father and the Son, Jesus Christ, who came to the earth to do something we could not do for ourselves. You see, Jesus paid a debt that he did not owe. We owe a debt that we cannot pay. Remember, Ezekiel pointed out and spoke that there was no man worthy, that is, before Christ the Savior came. I sought for a man, he wrote, among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none. You see, only Jesus Christ was qualified to do what he alone could do as God Almighty and as the Son of Man, and that's to come and pay the ultimate price to reconcile, reconcile, bring back together fallen men and their Creator, the Father. Hallelujah. Let this mind, Philippians 2, verse 3, let nothing be done through strife or vain glory. We should do nothing in strife, but rather out of a heart that is purified by the Holy Spirit and Word of God upon being regenerated. No strife, but deep inner peace, the peace of Christ, which passes all understanding, Philippians 4, 7. So nothing that we do, let nothing be done through strife or vain glory, that is, to bring glory to ourselves, but in lowliness of mind, notice lowly, not high-minded, but in contrast, but in lowliness, low, get down low. That's the whole posture of the believer, is today we are looking for a demotion, motion downward, that is, and not a pro motion. God is going to promote those who demote themselves and put Him first. That is the life of the true disciple of Jesus. The cross is at the center of the life of every true disciple of Jesus. And if you stand back and think about that, that will show us exactly how few there are who are truly following Jesus. That means they're following Him on His terms. And Jesus said, if we're going to follow Him, we must deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow Him. Deny ourselves to prefer Him and to put Him first, just like He demonstrated on earth when He put the Father above Himself. That is the mind of Christ. That is to possess each and every true disciple of the Lord. So many people are willing to join a church or be a part of a country club, basically what these churches are today. They call it Christianity Light. I don't think that does it any justice because it's so sparse, if you will, of any resemblance of the original gospel, which is centered in the cross of Christ and the one He commanded you to take up. You see, I mean, when's the last time you listened to a man preach that looked you straight in the eye, either physically or figuratively and spiritually, and told you that God requires that you die? When's the last time you heard a man look you, square you off, and tell you God requires, it's absolutely an imperative gospel essential that you die the death so that He can live in and through you? Because in Him we live and move and have our being. In Him we are raised up, but only if we consent to our own death. I don't know about you, but I've had a whole lot more of the flesh in my years on this planet than I care to want any more of. That never leads to anything good, because sin will take you further than you want to go. It will keep you longer than you want to stay, and it will charge you more than you want to pay. The wages of sin is death. It brings shame, it brings guilt, it brings death. And the only way to overcome sin, which is something you will never hear among the many false prophets which Jesus foretold that are in the earth today, increasing more and more, that you are required to die, that you, as Paul, are to be crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, you live, yet not you, but Christ that liveth in you. In the life which you now live in the flesh, you live by the faith of the Son of God. You must be willing to give up your life, which is nothing anyway without God, in order to have His blessed abundance of grace to be poured out upon your life. This is something God requires. It's a non-negotiable, essential imperative for following Jesus. You must be willing to say, I give up these filthy rags of semblance of false righteousness to accept Your righteousness, Lord Jesus, and Your grace and glory working in my life today, raising me up for Your good pleasure. And I don't think there's too many passages in the Bible where you're going to learn or be taught by God Himself. See, Paul used the term taught of God. In fact, Jesus used it too. I think it's Luke 6:45. And then in 1 Thessalonians, Paul speaks of the believers who were taught of God.
And the only way we're going to be taught of God is to sit at the feet of Jesus. And that's exactly why we have a Bible, the Word of God in print.
That's how we have a Bible. How else would we have known John 3:16? How else are we going to know the mind of Christ if we don't put our heart and our eyes and our face in this blessed Bible, the King James Bible, for the English speaking people, and cry out to God to teach us the mind of Christ? What I'm here to do today is to provoke you to seek God more than anything else, not just to give you all the answers. I don't have all the answers other than in my hand I hold the Bible, as you have access to, just like myself. And so if this message does nothing but provoke you to say, Lord, I want to walk in the mind of Christ. I believe it has done its job. I'm just a mere man. I can only seek God for myself. And I want to encourage you to ask God today, if you love the Lord, if you're going to choose to love the Lord with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to cry out to the Lord today and say, Lord, into Your hands I commend my spirit. I lay my life in Your hands. I'm all Yours, Lord Jesus, and I know that You're all mine. Amen. If you're going to come to the Lord, have a fresh come to Jesus meeting, which is something that should happen every day with each of us, I believe that He's going to birth birth in you, and many of you already have this in you, the desire to say, Lord, I want to walk in the mind of Christ. I want to love you with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength, and my neighbor as myself. I want to walk in the golden rule, inasmuch as ye would that men should do unto you, do ye even so unto them, Jesus said. Matthew 7:12. Lord, I want to walk in the mind of Christ according to Philippians 2:3-5. I want to do nothing through strife or to bring glory to myself, but in lowliness of mind, Lord, I want to bless and esteem others above, better than myself. Amen. I don't want to live looking on my own things, O God, but on the things of others. By your grace and power, your resurrection glory working in my life, raising me up to lift up others above myself. Amen. Let this mind be in me, Lord Jesus, from this day forward.
In Jesus' name.
That would be a great prayer. Amen. Verse 4, Philippians 2. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also in the things of others. Amen. What a joy it is to abandon our own personal worries. We all have things that we deal with in this life. They aren't all good, if you haven't noticed yet, obviously. But, you know, the blessing is to get up every day looking for somebody else that we can bless. It is more blessed to give than to receive. That's red letters in the book of Acts, chapter 20, verse 35. Another memory truth for your life to change your life. And to write it on an index card and let it be written on table of your heart ultimately and hopefully immediately. It is more blessed, hello, to give than to receive. This is the mind of Christ at its very core, where Jesus came to give his life. He didn't come to be served. He came to serve. Remember that? And then he taught us to do the same thing. Matthew chapter 20, verse 20-28, he was teaching his disciples and he's teaching us that he didn't come to be served. He came to serve. When you walk into somebody's life, beloved, let it be that you are walking into their life to serve them as unto the Lord. For example, if you're going to go out and have a cup of coffee or have lunch or dinner with a brother or with a sister, let your prayer be in the posture of your heart. This would be the mind of Christ, that you are going into this situation not to bring vain glory to yourself, not to talk about yourself, but in lowliness of mind, you're there to esteem them, that person that you're meeting with, better than yourself. You're not going to be looking at your own things or concerned of them. You're getting out of your world so that you can get into other people's world. That right there is the mind of Christ. He left the glory of heaven that he had from all eternity with his Father and came into our world, into this sin-cursed earth, to prefer us and esteem us better than himself, to save us from our sins so that we could be one with him. Hallelujah. So when you are going to have coffee, to have dinner, whatever, when you're getting together with someone this week, hopefully you have some good fellowship with the body of Christ, a member or more of the body of Christ, that you're going to approach that with the disposition that you're not trying to get any glory for yourself. You're dead to self. You're crucified with Christ. But you're going into that situation with the disposition of esteeming them better than yourself. And you're praying this very passage. I'm telling you, somebody is going to get this. This truth, this passage is going to get into somebody listening, and it's going to change your life forever to the glory of God. That you're going to constantly be able to meditate on this and recite it afresh. Meditate means mull over as you're driving, or when you wake up in the morning, you're posturing yourself in crucifixion to be lowly and to lift up everybody else above yourself. That is the mind of Christ. Your life is not to do your own will, but the will of the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who has saved and sent you to be his ambassador. Just the same thing Jesus said of the Father, that he came not to do his own will, but the will of the Father that sent him. Amen. And you're in this life to do the will of the Lord Jesus Christ and the Father that hath saved and sent you. Selfishness is at the root of every sin that has ever been committed, beginning with Lucifer in heaven, when iniquity and pride and arrogance was found in him. Ezekiel chapter 28, he was cast forth to the earth out of heaven. And Jesus said that he beheld, in fact, Jesus was the one who cast him out of heaven. In Luke 10:18,
16,
Jesus said, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Notice, as a lightning bolt, if you will, he was cast out of heaven. In fact, one of the satanic symbols we see all over rock music and all over those who are Satanists and live to glorify that loser, the ultimate loser, use a lightning bolt. He was cast violently out of heaven because the unchanging God we serve resists the proud, which means he sets himself against them. He only gives grace to the humble. We must be willing to humble ourselves in the sight of the Lord, and it is he and he alone that can lift you up to glorify himself. You see, God has to live his life through you. That's what the real Christian life or the life of the disciple is. What we do, and we're taught because of the lack of the teaching of the cross, the learning and teaching of the cross, which is encoded on every page of the Bible by divine design. What we try to do is we try to live the Christian life. That's impossible. Some of these truths are absolutely impossible. Most of them, or many of them. It has to be the working of God himself in us. And he does that in response to our simple humility, choosing to humble ourselves and obey him and say, Lord, I need you. Without you, I can do nothing. You must increase, but I must decrease. And Father, we stop here for a moment. We pause to pray that you would anoint us to the death and burial of self, that Christ and Christ alone might reign in us. In the name of Jesus. So Jesus says, in this context, the 70 that he sent out to do his ministry work, they came back with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. This is Luke 10, 17 through 20. This is a really incredible nugget of a passage here. So listen to this. Jesus sends out his disciples in the beginning of Luke 10. They came back with great joy, returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. In other words, they went out there and got people delivered. They cast out devils, which is one of the specific things he sent them to do, and he sent us to do in his power and in his name. There is power in the name of Jesus Christ. Name meaning the authority. His name carries authority, namely in those who are crucified with him, and truly his. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Oh, wait a minute. What? They just came back after he sent them to do his work, and they rejoiced that his work had been done. So why is Jesus throwing this in there? I mean, is this a disjointed, record of Jesus' teachings? No, not at all. See, Jesus is saying that he saw the same pride in the disciples that he saw in Lucifer before Lucifer was kicked out of heaven, because God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble, James 4:6. So Jesus is saying to them, if you will, to beware, because I'm seeing pride in you. But here's what you're to rejoice in, verse 19 and 20. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding, in this rejoice not, that the spirits, the demons, are subject unto you, but rather rejoice, because your names are written in heaven. Amen. Rejoice that we are his. We are bought with his blood. Now he's saying, I'm not going to withdraw this power, but I am going to tell you that you are to rejoice not in the power to cast out devils and to do my work, but in that I have come to die for you, you who have filthy rags as righteousness, so that you could be reconciled to the Father. Because I'm going to pay the ultimate price, as only I can do, so that your name will be written in heaven. And I want you to rejoice ever so much more, and primarily in your name being written in heaven, because my blood is going to be shed for you. We are to rejoice that we are God's. That is our identity, is we are God's in Christ, and not in how God uses us, even and as he uses us ever more powerfully as our lives are laid down and Christ is raising us up. Hence the need utterly and always for the cross, looking for a demotion, not a promotion. You know you're off track. I know when I'm off track, when I'm not dying downward, but rather living upwardly, if you will, living in my own strength, according to my own self-will, lacking the crucifixion that Christ calls me to, not a physical one, but to be crucified with him, to identify Jesus in his death, and which results always in burial and resurrection. You see, God is not going to resurrect or raise up anyone who is not dying downward, dead and buried. You see, God alone determines how we are to serve him, that is, on his terms. And if we're not serving God in the mind or the posture of Christ, then we're really not truly following Christ, and we're not pleasing God as he desires for us to do. And that's why it takes repentance to where we are of the agenda of fulfilling God's will and no longer our own. Remember, again, 1 Corinthians 6:19-20, you are not your own. You are bought with a price. And that is the highest price that was ever paid. And that is the precious blood of Jesus, which was shed on the cross to redeem you or buy you back to the Father, having been lost and separated, alienated from him in a life of sin. So there are a few things that are at the absolute foundation of serving God. That is, they are foundational truths that must be adhere to in loving and serving God. And we must never depart from them. And some of them I've already mentioned. Choosing to love the Lord, not yourself, but to love the Lord with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. Notice there's only two commands there. Contrary to some of the false teachers today, the Lord never told us to learn to love ourselves. He'll work all of that out. He'll bring the wholeness and the healing in your heart if you've been wounded as you serve him on his terms. This idea that you got to first learn to love yourself, absolutely satanic. Jesus said, deny yourself, don't love yourself. That's our biggest problem, is the love of self, that we're not willing to give up so that Christ can reign in our lives and experience the great exchange of his mind in us, his disposition in us, his blessedness in us. So we're full of self, which is sin. And so I would say loving the Lord, learning to love the Lord, as Jesus said, all the law and the prophets hangs on these two commandments, to love the Lord with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, to love your neighbor as yourself. Also, another foundational cornerstone truth that we must walk in is this mind of Christ. We must pray and study. Is God worth it to you? If he is, you will study, you will search, you will seek, you will use every faculty that he gave you to seek out and learn and cry out to him to walk in this cross. Amen. This cross life where you're dead and buried and Christ is reigning in you to love him and to love others. Amen. Not to love yourself. That's innate in fallen mankind or in mankind, period. And therefore, it's not something we have to learn. It's something we have to unlearn. It's something that the cross must crucify out of our lives, that Christ might reign and not us. Peter writes in 1 Peter 4:1-2, for as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind or disposition and attitude. For he that has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. There's the cross right there. Many of you listening may be crying out and wondering how you're going to overcome this sin that has plagued you for many years and defeated you. And we just got the answer right here. He that has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. Are you suffering the death of the flesh so that your spirit can be raised up by God to overcome that sin, to have the strength, the glory, and the grace of God in you, the divine enablement of God and his influence upon your heart to overcome, to not want that sin anymore. You must die. He that is dead is free from sin. Romans 6:7. And here it is again, 1 Peter 4:1, when we're armed with the same mind of Christ to put him and the Father first, as he put the Father first, not himself, then you're going to suffer in the flesh, which is a blessing, and you're going to cease from sin. Verse 2, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God. Remember, you're no longer your own. You are bought with the price of the blood of the Lamb, the scripture tells us, 1 Corinthians 6:19-20. Also 2 Corinthians 5:15, and that he, Christ, died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them. them and rose again. He was raised up. Back to our main text here in Philippians chapter 2. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things. Oh, what a deliverance that is. Wow. When we're selfish, we're toiling, we're anxious, we're pent up. It's nothing but unrest. It's not peace. In the mind of Christ, who is the Prince of Peace, there's deep peace. Great peace, the psalmist wrote, have they that love thy law, thy word, thy instructions, and nothing shall offend them. See, when we love his word, it's because we're grasping, we're searching it, and we're obeying it because we love our master who gave us that word. And obedience to him is a mere expression of our love. If we're choosing and when we're choosing to love him above ourselves and with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength as the first love of our lives, Jesus Christ, that is. And when that's happening, then the mind of Christ is possessing us, and we're preferring others above ourselves. In lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also in the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Jesus came to serve the Father. Here we're learning that Jesus saved us and sent us to love him and others above ourselves. Do you have anybody in your life that you could help today, beloved, that you could get out of your world, live out of your world is the ultimate goal of God, that we would not be looking on our own things and concerned and toiling about them so much as helping others. As we give our life to the Lord, his Spirit in us, the Holy Spirit, is going to lead us and give us and grant us the blessed disposition of the mind of Christ to concern ourselves with the needs of others, whether it be helping someone that's poor. Tending to the body of Christ would be a priority, Galatians 6:10, or stooping down to pick up someone who's fallen in some way or the other, whether it's a homeless person or someone who's sick or someone who has fallen morally in sin. We're bearing one another's burdens and so fulfilling the law of Christ in the humble disposition of Christ, the mind of Christ. Amen. Who being in the form of God, notice verse 6, Philippians 2 as we close, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Why? Because he is and always was God, but made himself of no reputation. That's key. Jesus made himself of no reputation. Now, somebody needs to tell all these people running around calling themselves apostles and prophets about this verse. If they've read the first gospel, the first book in the New Testament canon, they should have learned Jesus said, don't use titles, chapter 23, verse 8 through 12, because he that exalts himself will be humbled, but he that humbleth himself, there's a death and burial, shall be exalted. God is going to exalt those who humble themselves in his sight. Amen. But made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant. Now, if the God of heaven that created all that is, Jesus Christ, and sustains all of his creation by his very word, Colossians 1, came down to earth to serve, took upon himself what? The form of a servant. How is it that we find it difficult to do such? Probably because of our lack of understanding of these things. And was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And that's what God wants us to do, is to be obedient unto the death of self. And that's where the cross is necessary in our lives. Wherefore, God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. Perhaps we can extract from this passage one of the many things, and in other places, that the deeper the dying, the higher the resurrection, if you will. Now, we're not earning that, but God has set up this prescription that we've got to die and be buried if he's going to reign in us. And so notice, wherefore God hath highly exalted him and hath given him a name which is above every name. There is none other but Jesus Christ who will be exalted in that way. And yet, in the mind of Christ, we are going to be exalted only and as we humble ourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he is going to raise us up. James 4, verse 10. All right, verse 10, Philippians 2, as we close here, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And may God be glorified, beloved saints, to anoint us today to the death and burial of self, that he might raise us up for his good purposes and to produce the fruit that he desires in our lives and through our lives, and make us more and more one with him, as Jesus prayed in John 17. God bless you, friends.
Well, brothers and sisters, it's been a blessing to spend these moments with you in the Word of God. And remember, there's hundreds of more Christ-centered, scripture-rich, edifying podcasts on safeguardyoursoul.com/audios. There's also a store page with several many books on there for your edification in Christ. They're all scripture-rich and Christ-centered. Also, tens of thousands of saints and sinners are being reached every month, and your prayers are coveted for the fruitfulness and supply of this outreach. God be praised, by the way, for those who are supporting. And feel free to visit our donate page on the site, and you can use your debit card, PayPal, or Patreon, and you can become a monthly sustaining member if you choose to do so, and a gift of any amount is so appreciated. Part of this outreach is to equip and supply other ministering disciples across our great country and all over the world. And may God be praised that there's fruitfulness happening among his people and through his beloved saints, as we know that the return of our Lord Jesus Christ draws nigh. And we say together in the words of Revelation 22, "Even so, come, Lord Jesus." Amen.